Last case for the day, United States versus Clemens. Good morning. Jay Stevens from the Federal Community Defender's Office in South Bend, Indiana, representing Ms. Clemens. Ms. Clemens was stopped in a routine traffic stop, and at the time he was stopped, he was arrested, and there was a subsequent search of his car. And in that search of his car and in the search of his person, a little less than 3.5 grams of crack cocaine was turned up. Following his arrest and following the seizure of the crack cocaine, and in addition there was a handgun in the car, Mr. Clemens spoke with officers. He agreed to provide cooperation, and in the course of providing that cooperation, he made the statement that over the past year, he had sold additional crack cocaine, approximately $100 worth a week, on and off, over the period of the last year. That was the only evidence that was before the district court in the computation of drug quantity. There were no prior sales. There were no confidential informants. There were no other drugs seized from his house. There were no additional statements. So, solely on the basis of that statement, the district court found over the defendant's objection that the quantity of drugs attributable to him for purposes of sentencing was in excess of 50 grams. And our position is that finding was clearly erroneous. Now, what we have is a fairly convoluted path in getting to the sentencing. Initially, the probation officer prepared a pre-sentence report, which is not a part of the record. There was a meeting of the parties, which is referred to in document number 25, the attachment to the defendant's memorandum, in which counsel says, we had a meeting of the parties, and after a review of the evidence, I concede that the appropriate amount is 5 to 20 grams, the amount determined by the probation officer. The probation officer, however, revised the pre-sentence report, which is the final pre-sentence report, which is part of the record, and concluded that $100 worth of crack cocaine a week is the equivalent of 1 gram of crack cocaine, and that 1 gram of crack cocaine per week for 52 weeks amounted to 52 grams, and that therefore the relevant conduct should include an amount in excess of 50 grams of crack cocaine.
Well, the government apparently conceded that was wrong.
The government has conceded that was wrong.
I thought the argument you have left is that the statement shouldn't have been used at all.
That's the second argument, and of course, in all candor and in my responsibility to candor to the court, I have to concede that there was a concession in a pleading that said 5 to 20 grams was an appropriate amount. However, at the sentencing, the parties argued, in fact, both parties argued with the probation officer, regardless of the statement itself should not have been admitted. Now, clearly this court has held that merely talking to a police officer when the police officer says, if you talk to us, it's going to help you, that's not sufficient to trigger 1B1.8. In the serious objections to the pre-sentence report, the addendum that's attached to the pre-sentence report, Ms. Clemens' attorney says this is not relevant conduct at all. The government says this is protected by 1B1.8. The government is the one who raised this issue in the first place. At the sentencing, Mr. Clemens' attorney concurred in that position. And government counsel said, Judge, we're not prepared to put on evidence Mr. Clemens didn't know that this was covered by a cooperation agreement. There are unique facts that are associated with this arrest. We believe this should be excluded. There was no taking of evidence in this case. There was no testimony of a police officer. There were no reports placed into evidence. So what the judge had was the government's assertion that this was covered by 1B1.8 and the government's statement the facts associated with this arrest did not clearly take it out of 1B1.8. Based on that, then, court committed clear error in finding that that amount should be attributed as relevant conduct. Now, there's the issue, of course, of the confession made by defendant's counsel, but the court did not rely on any confession made in a prior pleading, and defendant's counsel clearly contested that issue at sentencing, so at least there was a tacit withdrawal of that confession. So our position simply is that at worst the amount should be placed in a 5 to 20 gram range, because we don't know how much $100 worth of cocaine translates to in what Mr. Clemens was selling, because we have no comparable sales. We just don't know what the dollar amount translates into drugs. We don't know how many sales he made. We don't know how many weeks he made, but clearly he made additional sales. And it only would take a gram and a half over the course of the year to trigger the 5 to 20 level. But if the 1B1.8 exclusion applies, then he should be in the less than 5 grams range. And if there are no further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mr. Baker?
May it please the court. I'm Andrew Baker, Assistant United States Attorney on behalf of the government. The court below rejected the government's claim or assertion that this statement was protected by 1B1.8. I believe the record shows that based on the argument the assistant made, that the application of that section and the case law of this court were misapprehended. The assistant at the sentencing said, however, in this situation, there are a number of factors revolving around when he gave the statement to the investigating agents. And at this time, the government's not prepared to give a clear record that the defendant understood that it was not under cooperation. Well, the fact that he was agreed to cooperate doesn't determine the 1B1.8 agreement. In that sense, the government was wrong below, and we believe the court ruled correctly on all the evidence before it. With respect to drug quantity, there's three facts that are uncontested by the parties here relevant to sentencing, and only three facts. The first is that the defendant had 3.37 grams of crack cocaine on him at the time of his arrest with the intent to distribute it. The second fact is that a gram of cocaine sells for $100 for the purposes of drug calculations here. And the third fact is the defendant said, I have been selling crack cocaine off and on for approximately a year. I have been selling approximately $100 to $200 of crack cocaine a week on and off for the last year. Now, I believe it's clear under the case law cited in our brief that if the words on and off were not in that statement, the probation department's calculation by taking the lower of the amount times the 52 weeks is totally proper. The problem is that Acosta said, in other cases, say that the court should err on the side of caution. There is no consideration in this district court's calculation of what on or off, to give on or off any value. That would, so we have, I don't believe it met the Acosta requirements. We can say with certainty, I believe, that is, the defendant conceded it's in the 5 to 20 grams somewhere at the bare minimum. It has to be at least two prior sales of 1 week of the minimum amount of money that gets you in 5, and it could be several weeks still within that range to get up to 20 grams. Unless the court has any questions, rely on our brief for the affirmation of the court's use of 1B1. The statement not covered by 1B1.8, the use of the confession as relevant conduct, but we don't believe the facts support the total amount of over more than
50. Mr. Baker, what would you have to do then?
Have you remand for resentencing with the determination of the amount of relevant drugs under relevant conduct.
Thank you. Mr. Stevens?
would agree with all that Ms. Baker says, with one exception, and that is that he said that the assistant United States attorney at the sentencing misapprehended the law. The prosecutor said, the judge, the government is aware of the case law. In fact, we will cite U.S. versus Rutledge, which is this court's decision at 900 Fed Second, I believe that's 1130, which states that an arresting officer, when he tells a defendant that cooperation could be helpful, that does not fall under 1B1.8. The assistant clearly understood that an arresting officer doesn't have the authority to tell someone their cooperation doesn't have the authority to bind the government under 1B1.8. Prosecutors correctly stated the law and then went on to say there are a number of factors revolving around when he gave this statement, and the government's not prepared to give a clear record. It's the government's burden, not the defendant, to establish the quantity attributable for sentencing purposes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Thanks to both counsel. Case will be taken under advisement. Court will be in recess until 9:30 Monday morning.